A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Transportation meeting will come to order. Good morning to the internet listeners. We do have two bills on the docket today. We have the first one is House Bill 1007 and then Senate Bill 17. And what we're going to end up doing is, just because we're waiting for the prime sponsor, House Bill 1007, the Representative Ryan Olson is in another committee testifying, so we're going to move Senate Bill 17 to the top of the calendar and take up first, and then the committee will be at ease until we have House Bill 1007 available from the prime sponsor. At this time, I would like to welcome everybody, just a gentle reminder, as my cell phone is buzzing up here, a reminder to turn your cell phones off in the committee so we can keep a quiet committee. At this time, the secretary will call the roll.
Elliott.
Here.
Ironclad.
Here.
Kopp.
Here.
Lang. McLaughlin.
Here.
Nordstrom.
Here.
Russell Shrimp.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Street.
Here.
Vercio.
Here.
Junkie's gone. Krebs.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Quorum is present. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion. If you've all read, I'm sure, thoroughly the minutes of the last meeting. Representative Street moves them, and seconded by Representative Steele. Approval of the minutes. Anybody have any comments on the approval of the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Minutes so approved. Again, if you're going to be testifying today, make sure to sign in the back of the room by the podium for any of the bills. That way we know who you are and where you're from, and we'd be glad to have you here in your house testifying. At this time, if you have any handouts as well for the testimonies, we'd love to have you guys utilize our pages in the front. And this time, I'd go ahead and have our pages introduce themselves.
I'm Darcy Leichner from Parkston.
I'm Emma Hagen, and I'm from Canton.
Good. Thank you, ladies. And they'll be here to help out if you need anything. All right, the first bill then, like I said, was House Bill 1007. We'll move that. We'll take and move Senate Bill 17 to the top. At this time, then, Senate Bill 17 is the act to revise certain driver's licensing provisions. At the Committee of Transportation, at the request of the Department of Public Safety. At this time, we will take proponent testimony on Senate Bill 17.
Try again. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cindy Gerber. I'm the director of the Driver Licensing Program in the Department of Public Safety. Senate Bill 17 is an act to revise certain driver licensing provisions. I bring this bill before you today to implement minimum federal standards for driver's license and ID card issuance in South Dakota. We are already doing several of the things required in the federal standards. However, what this bill does is it gives us the authority to implement certain things in the requirements that we don't currently have the authority to do. We need to implement these federal standards in order to use our driver's licenses and ID cards as a form of ID for federal official purposes, including boarding aircraft and entering federal buildings. These federal standards came about as a result of the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission recommended that the U.S. improve its system for issuing secure identification documents. The Commission specifically urged the federal government to set standards for the issuance of sources of identification, such as driver's licenses. I'm not going to go through the bill section by section, but I will go through some of the things the bill does, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions. The bill does the following things. Changes the language regarding a person authorized to be in the United States to match the federal language, which refers to this as lawful status. It outlines which documents are acceptable to get a driver's license or ID card. Most of these documents are already required in South Dakota. However, this bill puts them into statute. It adds a definition for principal residence and requires applicants to provide the examiner two documents that contain the applicant's name and address of principal residence. Examples of documents that are acceptable include electric bills, gas bill, utility bill, a rent receipt, phone bill, school records, bank statements, W-2 forms, mortgage documents, to name a few. I want to point out that we realize that there will be rare situations when applicants may not be able to provide two forms of address. In these situations, we will have the applicant complete an affidavit indicating they live at the address. One example of this would be for a person that is living in a homeless shelter. we will still be able to accommodate people who do not have a physical address, such as those who only have a P.O. box or a rural route address or a personal mailbox address. The benefits of this section is that it will deter applicants from using fictitious addresses to obtain South Dakota driver's licenses and ID cards. The next thing the bill does is it repeals a portion of state law that allows the department to accept a tribal ID card in lieu of a birth certificate. We're repealing this section of law because under the federal standards, we're not allowed to accept a tribal ID card in lieu of a birth certificate for this purpose. Currently in South Dakota, the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe is the only tribal ID card approved for this purpose. And we did check with driver examiners throughout the state, and they said that very few applicants bring in tribal ID cards for this purpose. Most of them do have birth certificates. So we're hopeful that this isn't going to affect a large amount of people. The bill requires applicants who have a Social Security number to present their Social Security card or other acceptable Social Security document in the case that their card is unavailable. The other documents include a W-2 form, 1099 forms, or a pay stub with the applicant's name and Social Security number. We already have the requirement in state law to provide a Social Security number as part of the driver license application. However, this bill requires the applicant to show documentation of that number. The bill adds language to require a one-year expiration date on a driver license or ID card issued to a non-U.S. citizen who presents a lawful status document that does not include an expiration date. The bill adds language to include the latest card revision date in the barcode, which is on the driver's license. The bill outlines the requirement that prohibits a person from having more than one document that is acceptable for federal purposes. And what that means is a person can have a driver's license and an ID card, but only one of those can be acceptable for federal purposes. In the event that a person has both, either the license or the ID will be marked as not acceptable for federal purposes. The effective date of this bill is December 31st of 2009, and this is to coincide with the deadline for compliance with the federal regulations for minimum standards for driver licenses and ID cards. Another benefit to the December 31st implementation date is that it allows the department sufficient time to launch a public education campaign to ensure that applicants know what documents they need to bring with them when they come to get a driver's license or ID card. Some additional things I'd like to point out in regards to the implementation of this bill. If someone in South Dakota has been licensed for many years and they come in without the proper documentation, the examiner is going to work with them. They'll issue them a temporary license to drive on, give them time to get back out and get the documents that they need in order to get the driver's license. I also want to point out that a person who has a valid South Dakota driver license issued prior to the effective date of the bill will not be required to come in and get a new license after the law takes effect. Anybody under the age of 50, if they want a driver's license for federal official purposes, which is boarding aircraft or entering federal buildings, anyone under the age of 50 will need to meet the federal guidelines by December 1st of 2014, which gives them some time, and anyone over the age of 50 will need the new driver's license by December 1st of 2017. So what that means is come December 31st, everybody doesn't have to rush out and get a new driver's license. In closing, I want to reiterate that if this bill does not pass, it affects every South Dakota citizen who wants to use a South Dakota driver's license or ID card to board aircraft or enter a federal building. Our driver's license and ID card will not be acceptable for federal purposes if this bill doesn't pass. So with that, I will close my testimony and I will ask for your support of the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Gerber. For the proponent testimony to House, or excuse me, Senate Bill 17. For the proponent testimony to Senate Bill 17. For the proponent testimony to Senate Bill 17. This time I'll close for proponent testimony and open up the floor to opponent testimony on House, excuse me, Senate Bill 17. We've got to get used to saying Senate bills now that there's crossover coming up. Senate Bill 17, opponent testimony to Senate Bill 17. Any opponents to Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, I'm going to waive the rebuttal time for Ms. Gerber. At this time, I will open up the committee for their opportunity to question Ms. Gerber if you have any questions at this time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shrimp.
Yes, I got one question for
Ms. Gerber.
May I? I was wondering if you're 80, like say 80 or 90 years old, and you can't get a valid driver's license, what do you need to get that to board an airplane? That's one question.
Okay, Madam Chair. Thank you. If you're 80 or 90 years old, if I'm understanding your question correctly, and you are not able to get a driver's license, what would you use to board an aircraft? Then you would be able to get a state-issued identification card from us.
Okay, thank you.
Follow-up, Representative Shrimp?
Thank you,
Ms. Gerber. Any further questions for Ms. Gerber?
All right, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I have a real problem with using Social Security number as part of your ID. It says right on the card not to be used for an ID. With that in mind, why wouldn't we just use a state identification system, as you just mentioned, to begin with, each state, rather than requiring everybody to submit their Social Security number as an ID number?
Ms. Gerber.
Madam Chair, I just want to clarify, the Social Security number does not go on the driver's license. In fact, we're prohibited by state and federal law from doing that. And it already is a requirement in state law to provide the Social Security number as a part of the driver license and ID card application.
Follow-up, Representative Cobb?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question on the temporary card you said that you give. How long is this thing good for? I'm assuming it's a temporary card. How long?
Madam Chair? Thank you for the question, Representative Steele. The normal temporary license that we would issue would be a 30-day temporary, but if we have somebody that has driven a long ways or for whatever reason it's a huge inconvenience for them to get back to us within 30 days, we could go longer than that to a 60-day if necessary.
Follow-up, Representative Steele? Great. Okay. Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you. Follow up on the temporary, if during that period of time, are they able to use that temporary for boarding an aircraft or federal buildings?
Madam Chair, thank you for the question, Representative. No, they would not be able to. It would be a temporary document, and it would be issued based on the fact that they didn't have the documents that were needed to bring in to get the license that was acceptable for federal official purposes.
Follow-up, Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you. In the event that they perhaps might get it but did need to travel during that period of time, are there any other alternatives open to them?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Thank you for the question. Under the federal regulations, in order to board a federal aircraft or enter a federal building, they would need to have the license that was acceptable for federal purposes. So if it was a case that they needed to fly and they needed it right away, they would have to go back out and get the documents because we couldn't issue a temporary that was acceptable for federal purposes.
Follow-up, Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned the Cheyenne tribe has one that will work and the rest won't. What is the difference between those two? Is it a picture or what causes that to be acceptable?
Ms. Gerber.
Thank you, Representative Steele. When the law went into effect several years ago regarding the department being able to approve tribal ID cards in lieu of a birth certificate, at that time we sent the standards out to the tribes and they could send in their tribal ID for approval. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribes card has some very good security features on it. It has a picture on it. It has the fields on it that we had required at the time. So it was a very good document. Some of the other ones that came in weren't as good. Some of them didn't have a picture on them. They didn't have any security features. So the difference would be the security of the card.
Follow-up, Representative Steele.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then if the rest of the tribes were to go to this form, that would be unacceptable for any of the tribes?
Madam Chair, it would be today, but once this bill goes into effect, it won't be because we're repealing that from state law because the federal standards do not allow that.
Follow-up. Further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gerber, you're talking about the temporaries, and I'm assuming that's not covered in Senate Bill 17, excuse me. Is that correct?
Representative, thank you. That is correct, Representative Junkie. There is other areas in state law that do allow us to issue temporary permits, however, under 3212. But it doesn't specifically speak to that in Senate Bill 17.
Absolutely.
So you were stating a 30-day, possibly a 60-day. Can you tell me where that is? Because this is a kind of a trust me type comment, I believe.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Junkie. I don't know the site right off hand, but I believe the code says something to the effect of the department can issue a temporary license. It doesn't say a length of term, but it does say while we're continuing to investigate if the person is able to get a license or something like that. That's not the exact language, and I don't know the exact site. I'm sorry, I could get that for you.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that before. I feel this is going to come out of committee, and I have to have that peace of mind before we go, because I'm tending to not support this anyway, because you and I had this visit, but I'll just, for your information.
Mm-hmm. Representative Junkie, would there be a possibility that she could probably find the statute listing over here on the side if we could get that time? Okay, great.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that.
Wonderful. Any further questions of the committee? Representative Ironcloud.
Well, good morning to the committee and our guests here and the listeners. I guess I have two questions. One is, in this particular situation, the Cheyenne River Tribe, have you talked to them and let the tribal members and people know that this legislation is happening and they'll no longer be able to use their form of ID?
Madam Chair, thank you, Representative Ironcloud. We have been in touch with them at the time that we approved their ID card. For this purpose, we did say in the letter that these federal standards would be coming and that when these came into effect that we would not be able to use the tribal ID card for those purposes any longer.
Go ahead.
So at the time that we approved it, we actually said to them, until the federal standards come into place, we'll be able to use this.
But not
follow
since,
up, Brian, Representative
Yeah, Markman? Thank you. Mm-hmm. May I, but since then, you have not a dialogue with the tribes.
Madam Chair. Representative Ironcloud, yes, that's correct.
Follow up?
Sure. Another question I have is in regards, you've made a statement that you're no longer allowed to use your Social Security on the driver's license. Mm-hmm. And is there some license today that are still using that on the ID?
Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. I believe the law went into effect in 2005. I would have to look back to verify that, where it was prohibited. So prior to that time, people had the option of using the Social Security number as their driver's license number if they wanted to. So anything issued prior to the effective date of that bill, so if it would have been July 1st of 2005, that would be a five-year cycle. So there still could be some out there that do have it on there. They didn't have to come in and take it off. But any that were issued after July 1 of 2005 do not have the Social Security number on them.
Follow-up.
Thank you. That's fine.
Great. Further questions of the committee? Representative Junkie, did you have a comment?
I'll do it in the comments.
Okay, great. At this time, I'd like to also ask you, Ms. Gerber, I know that we and I have had discussions from concerns that we had of the mailbox forwarding address companies, the companies that are in Sioux Falls and other places that provide those mailbox for those residents, or I should say those people that are registering their vehicles here. One of the concerns in his questions in his email, and I believe his name was Mr. Paul Eidness, and I believe your department has been in contact with him, was the fact that you add a definition for the principal residence and that requires applicants to present two documents that are acceptable. Could you please clarify that and maybe help sort it out if they're listening on the internet of how we did clarify and to make it as easy as possible for those that are registering their vehicles here?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. The definition of principal residence does include the word temporary residence, so that would include these people that are using a mail forwarding service. And we have been working with those companies over the last couple of weeks. And as far as I understand it, they're happy with the way we plan to deal with them. And what we will do is we will have them present us with a receipt from the campground or RV park that they are staying at as proof of their temporary address. And then they will complete a form that says that they're a resident of South Dakota and South Dakota is a state that they intend to return to when absent.
Thank you, Ms. Gerber. At this time, then, you feel that Mr. Eisen's concerns have been resolved?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, and I appreciate your department's contact with him to help clarify his concerns. Further comments of the committee, or excuse me, questions of the committee? Mr. Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you for working with some of those individuals. Are there any other obligations that by having a South Dakota license, we've have many license issued to individuals that because of the price and a few other things that have headquartered here, are there any obligations attached to this that that might come into play, for example, jury duty or anything else?
Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative McLaughlin. That's a very good question. That is something I should have pointed out. On the form that the applicant will be filling out, it does say to them, and we do this today with the people from the mail forwarding services, it does indicate to them that the driver license file is used as a list for jury duty, a supplemental list. So we do let them know at the time that they use that address that if they are selected for jury duty, that they will be required to be here for jury duty.
Follow up, Representative McLaughlin. Further questions of the committee? At this time, I will close questioning and open up for committee discussion and or action. Committee discussion and or action. Representative Junkie, did you have a...
Thank you, Madam Chair. LRC staff provided me with the section. It's 32-12-19, which this Senate Bill 17 deals with 32-12, so it's just section 19 that's the temporary permit. So I'll be looking up. Thank you.
Clarified your question?
I can find it.
Great. That's what those great books over on the side are for. We should utilize them more, or the computer.
I don't know how to read it.
Further comments and or discussion and or action? Representative McLaughlin.
I move do pass.
Do pass motion by Representative McLaughlin. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Street. Comments on the do pass motion, Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this addresses a number of the concerns, puts it in light of the federal requirements and gets a good handle relative to what is required and can be used for voting, boarding aircrafts. We need some sort of a reliable permanent ID, and I think this will address those issues.
Thank you, Representative McLaughlin. Further comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 17. I'll get that yet. Further comments on the do pass motion. Comments from the Chair, Representative Russell?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'd have a substitute motion to amend to page 4, line 17. It says any person who obtains a driver's license or non-driver identification card pursuant to this section fraudulently or by use of a fraudulently obtained document is guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor.
Your substitute motion then to amend?
Class 1 misdemeanor.
So change in line 17 from Class 2 to Class 1. Could you, first of all, we have a substitute motion to amend. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Junkie. Comments on the substitute motion to amend?
Well, the rationale for that is that I've had to deal over the years with a number of illegal aliens and other folks that are here illegally. I know that this deals with folks who were trying to make sure that they are here legally. However, if they're using some type of fraudulent document or trying to perpetrate a fraud to obtain the driver's license, I think that a Class 2 misdemeanor is too small a penalty. The maximum penalty on that is $400 and a 30-day stay in your county jail. It's essentially a speeding ticket. And if you are defrauding the government to stay here illegally by obtaining a driver's license, I think that it should at least be a Class 1 misdemeanor. Another concern that I have, and I don't know if a Class 1 is sufficient, because if someone is convicted of an illegal alien who is here and they're only convicted of a Class 1 misdemeanor, it's not a crime for them after they're deported to come back to the United States. But under the circumstances, I would ask that the committee adopt, make it a Class 1 misdemeanor for fraudulently obtaining such documents.
Representative Russell, clarification from the chair. Can you help us define Class 1 so that we do know that on record?
A Class 1 misdemeanor would be a year in the county jail and or a $2,000 fine as a maximum penalty. But a driving under the influence charge is a Class 1 misdemeanor. A whole myriad of charges that are much, that I think are even less serious than obtaining documents, a driver's license fraudulently. So, thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. Representative Russell, comments on the substitute motion to amend line 17 from Class 2 misdemeanor to a Class 1. Representative Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would resist the motion. Simply from the on the grounds that it is always easier to increase penalty under the law than to decrease penalty under the law, in my opinion. If this would need to be increased, we could always do it at a further date, at a later date, and I would just resist that motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Street. Further comments on the substitute motion to amend from Representative Kopp.
I would agree with the amendment that Representative Russell is giving. So many times it's easy to say, well, we can take care of it next year. And when you get so many next years piled up that you got to take care of, sometimes you run out of time, as we just found this morning. And so I would reject that and accept the Russell amendment. Thank you.
Further comments from the committee on the substitute motion? Representative Steele.
Madam Chair, I would also like to support that amendment because we can always, it doesn't mean we're going to soak them with 1 year or a $2,000 fine. What it means is we have, the judge has the option to go up to that, and I think it gives the judge a little more flexibility on the situation that he's able to or she's able to evaluate at the time they're in court. So I would speak for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Steele. Further comments on the substitute motion to amend? Further comments on the substitute motion to amend? At this time, it's a voice vote. I will restate the amendment. Dave, do we have anything out that, do you need to clarify anything? All right. The restating the amendment, it's on page 4, line 17, cross out class 2, replace with class 1, misdemeanor. At this time, the motion before you, the substitute motion, is to amend line 17. All those in favor will signify by saying aye, opposed, nay. This is a voice vote, so I'm going to give that opportunity at this time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Substitute motion does carry. Senate Bill 17 is amended with the Class 1 language changed in there. We are back. We have the original motion of a due pass motion by Representative McLaughlin. You're right. Thank you. Thank you, Dave, for clarifying. At this time, we would have to have a new motion because it has been amended. Representative Verschio moves a due pass motion. I believe, is that your motion, Representative Verschio? Representative Verschio has a due pass motion on Senate Bill 17 as amended. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Kopp. Comments on the due pass motion as amended. Representative Verschio.
I don't think any further comments needed, actually. Representative McLaughlin did an excellent job explaining it. Thank you.
Further comments on the due pass motion as amended on Senate Bill 17. At this time, the secretary will call roll on the due pass motion on Senate Bill 17. As amended, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Elliott.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Lang. McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
No.
Verschio.
Aye.
Junkie.
No.
Krebs?
Aye.
Okay, we have 10-2.
House, excuse me, Senate bill, I'll get this right yet, Senate Bill 17 passes on a 10-2 vote as amended. Moving on, we'll move back now to House Bill 1007. I believe Representative Olson is here out of taxation. I heard you had quite an exciting time over there. What was the result on 1294?
Well, Madam Chair, as usual, we always do the right thing over there.
Are you speaking as the chair?
Yes. And just as a general spectator. Thank you for moving me down so we could finish up our business over there. Since we do have a crossover day, today was the final day, so we had to get those moved out, and a number of somewhat controversial and lengthy bills over there. So thank you, committee. Representative Ryan Olson, District 24, coming to you today. Not so much as bringing this bill on my behalf, but I was a member of the summer study on highway needs and financing. And we met five times, and we heard presentations from state government on down to the local townships. And the one thing that was driven home to me, and I think most of the committee, was our roads and bridges are reaching a state of crisis. We've kind of been in this maintenance mode. The state has taken a position of not adding any new mileage to the state highway system because we're already falling behind on just the maintenance of our current roadway systems. And we all looked in our crystal balls and decided that we need to do something, and we need to do something fairly quickly. Naturally, with the stimulus package, that's the first question that comes to mind is, do we need to do this with the stimulus package? And my answer to that would be, yes, we do, for a couple reasons. Number one, I haven't seen the final numbers and how they're going to shake out to the counties and other smaller units of local government. But I know when you spread out that number, which the last number I heard was about 21 million, if you spread that out over 66 counties, that's merely a drop in the bucket compared to what the need is out there. What House Bill 1007 seeks to do is raise the non-commercial license fees $10. And I can tell you that in the discussion, and I'll leave a lot of the numbers to the folks behind me in the back of the room, because they can give you a lot of the statistics. But generally, I can tell you that we are one of the cheapest states in the entire United States to register a vehicle. And I can also tell you that as someone who owns a lot of vehicles, both for my business and personally, that you know this would certainly affect me a great deal. But I recognize that we have a need. I'm a user of the roads, and ultimately I want to drive on good roads, and I want to drive on safe bridges. So I was a sponsor of a number of the bills that we passed out of that committee, and not necessarily a proponent or opponent, but the process says that legislators must introduce these bills, and we are providing these options to the full body of the legislature. And today, that's what I bring you in House Bill 1007. So with that, I will turn it over, because I know there's some people behind me that would like to testify. So thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, and I'll stand by for questions later. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olson. We are honored with your presence. Further proponents to House Bill 1007. Boy, I'm going to get these seveners. It sounds like a auctioneer. 1007 and going once and going twice. House Bill 1007. I got to practice. Is anybody here an auctioneer? Russell is. That's an auctioneering country, probably. Please state your name for our record.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Dick Howard, and I am representing the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. And we rise in support of House Bill 1007. We had the privilege of participating with the interim study committee this summer, and feel that they did a lot of work and did a great job with the amount of time they had. I think since Gordon Peterson is no longer here, maybe I'll give a little bit of institutional memory.
We would appreciate that. You may have been around a few more years than I have.
Yeah, quite a few. So I just would like to talk a little bit about a public policy that was adopted back in 1985 regarding the distribution of highway user fees among the state highway system and local governments. In 1985, and I think this policy is still valid today, in 1985, the Highway Users Group, who you're going to hear from later today, I think, proposed a change in the method of distributing highway user fees among the various local governments and the state highway system. Prior to 1985, the counties and local governments shared the gas tax with the state getting 7/8 and local governments 1/8 of the total. Also, the license plate fees were shared in that the state highway fund got 54.5%. The 4% went to the motor vehicle and revolving license plate funds, which Deb Hilmer administers, and they make the license plates. And 41.5% went to local governments. So the objectives in 1985 were twofold. One, have DOT receive all the gasoline motor fuel revenue. This would allow DOT to come forth and ask for additional funding when they had a need, and perhaps the counties wouldn't have a demonstrated need at that time. So DOT could come in for a gas tax increase. And they did that. In 1988, they requested a 5 cent per gallon increase, which was justified and approved. And again, in 1999, they received an increase of 4 cents per gallon. On the other side, the objective was to leave all the revenue from license plate fees with local governments so they could adjust their needs, come to the legislature to adjust their needs when needed. Although needs were identified several times since after 1985, no increases were approved until 1999 when a $12 increase was approved. Prior to 1999, no changes had been made in license plate fees since 1977, and only a $10 increase had occurred since 1921. So you can see that we haven't done a lot in adding to the price of our license fees, which is under the current system is the primary funding source for local governments. Also, as part of the deal, when that was done, it resulted in the local governments receiving about $5 million a year more at the expense of the state highway fund. So to make the state highway fund whole, that's when the motor vehicle excise tax, the 3%, was changed from being 3% on the sticker value of new cars to 3% of the trade differential on all vehicles. And since that time, the motor vehicle excise tax has become an important part of funding the state highway system. Also, part of the discussion at that time, it was generally accepted, I guess, that the motor fuel tax, it's a true user fee in that the more you use the highway, the more you pay. And I think it was accepted that on the higher volume roads, the user fee was appropriate, such as our interstate system and state highways, because of the high usage and the most of the motor fuel tax were collected on those roads. And then on the local government roads, which some of them are very low volume with like 10 vehicles per day, that a more appropriate way, they needed a more stable source of funding, and the license plate fees fit that need. Actually, the license plate fees really taxes for the privilege of having the road system available when it's needed. So on that concept, that helped divide how they were going to be to set up how they were going to divide the funds. I've handed out a couple of handouts. One, I had to give you some colored pictures.
You enjoy pictures?
Yes. The photograph on the first page is a gravel surface road that's in very good condition. And I'm sure we'd all like to see our gravel roads in that condition. However, if you will go to the next chart, it shows, I'll talk mainly about the township roads. If you note over on the left-hand side, the third set of pie charts down, it says townships. In 2008, the townships have 9% of their system is poor, 37% is fair, and only 2% is very good. The target condition that was, this information came from a study that was done by DOT this summer for the interim committee. The target was to have 25% roads in good condition, 35 good, and 40% fair, and no poor highways. So townships currently have 10% that are poor. So if you go to the next photographs, the ones on the left-hand side are photographs of gravel surfaced roadways in poor condition. And I think you can look at those. You can see they are in not good condition. The photographs on the right-hand side of the page show those that are in fair condition, and they're passable, but are not outstanding roads. Go to the next page. There's photographs of gravel surfaced roads that are in good condition, and we have a few of those, but we need additional funding to have more in that category. Then on the right-hand side is pictures of a failed flexible pavement, an asphalt blotter or a mat. Going to the next page on the left is again asphalt pavement in poor condition. On the right hand side are those in a fair condition. And so I just wanted to show these pictures to you to show that when we say we have roads that are in poor condition, they are in poor condition. And the need is there to upgrade those. I took these photographs are out of a manual that was used by DOT in doing their study this summer. The same manual was sent out to all the county highway superintendents, all of the inspectors that looked at the roads and rated them. So they all rated them the same. There was a rating scale and the pictures to help them rate them. So when the roads were rated by the local officials, they were all rating them on the same criteria. The next slides are out of the report, which was presented to you back two or three weeks ago, I think, by Mr. Dave Huft from DOT. But I just pulled out some that I thought were the most important charts to explain our situation. So on the first one, shows the local road and bridge expenditures, and that shows pretty much that they've been constant since 1998, which is when 1999, when we received the additional funding, and it's remained pretty constant. For all, especially the counties and the townships. The right-hand side there shows the highway construction production index, and if you start out in 1998, a dollar was worth a dollar, and if you follow that yellow line, in 2008, that dollar was worth 50 cents. So you can do half as much work with a dollar as you could in 1998. The red line shows just the opposite. It shows that the price index has gone up by a factor of two. The chart down on the lower left-hand side shows the local bridge conditions. And if you look at that chart, the green bars represent bridges that need nothing done to them. So if you look at the county bridges in 2008, about two-thirds of the bridges need some kind of treatment, and about half of those need either a deck replacement or a structure replacement. So the bridges, if you look at the inventory of bridges on the local government system, when they were constructed, there's a large peak of bridges that are 70 years old, because that's when the last stimulus package was approved back in the 30s. So there are a lot of old bridges that were constructed back then. Then on the right-hand side, it shows the funding needs on the bridges, and that totals $25 million a year. Going to the next page, the annual road surface needs, he shows funding that's needed just to maintain the current conditions. And if you look over there, there's $77 million for counties, $8 million for county secondary, et cetera. Totals up to $137 million needed just to maintain roads and bridges in their current conditions. To achieve the target condition, which I showed the pie chart, requires about $156 million. Over on the next chart, it shows the amount needed. The road surface, 155.7, major structures, 25 million, total needs of 181 million, current expenditures just about 100 million, so the shortfall is $81 million. That's to upgrade it to target conditions. And down in the conclusions, I think those are important that I think if you look at the chart on the left-hand side, the bottom two say that a shortfall of $80 million per year exists to achieve the target condition, and a shortfall of about $50 million per year exists just to maintain current conditions. So I think that definitely there's a need out there. And House Bill 1007 proposes to meet part of that need. The next page in the handout is the distribution of the current license plate fees. It shows the amount that that the counties, the cities, and the township within each county receives. So if you take the amount that goes to counties, cities, townships, add that up, that's the total that goes to that county. The left-hand number is the percent of the statewide total that goes to each county. So you can look down there and see your counties and see how much license plate fees currently are going to the counties, townships, and cities. That totals about $47 million. Of that amount, 67% goes to counties, 15.7% to cities, and 17% to townships. And that's all distributed by formulas in the statute. If you go to page 8, Senate Bill 11 was one of the bills that came out of the summer committee this summer that proposed to eliminate the 30% reduction in registration fees for vehicles that are 5 years old or older. That's been in place since 1939, and so there was discussion that maybe there was basis for removing that. That bill, if you remove the 30% reduction after 5 years, brings in about $13 million per year. This table shows the distribution of that $13 million per year, again, by county, city, and township within each county. The next page is House Bill 1007, which, as you know, proposes to increase the license plate fees by an average of $10. There's some that are more and some that are less, but it's an average of 10. That raises about $8 million per year, someplace between 7 and 8. This chart then distributes that $8 million among the county, cities, and townships. The next page shows the amounts if both the Senate Bill 11 concept and House Bill 1007 were approved. It would bring in about $21 million, and that shows how that would be distributed. At their annual meeting in December, the Association of Towns and Townships, their delegates, adopted two resolutions, and one was supported highway financing for local roads and bridges of the of a $10 vehicle license fee and repealing the exemption on older vehicles. They also passed a resolution supporting additional funding for the State Highway Fund, recognizing that the state highway system and local governments make up the transportation system that is necessary for our economic development and quality of life in the state of South Dakota. So just to summarize, local roads are the lifeline of rural South Dakota, and they're essential to maintaining our quality of life that we enjoy. While they don't carry large volumes of traffic, as I said, many are less than 10 vehicles per day, They do provide mail routes, school bus routes, access to rural homes, access for hunting and fishing, access to farms and fields, and serve as the backbone of the state's farm-to-market system. The development of ag processing facilities such as ethanol plants, soybean plants, large dairies, and the use of larger farm equipment places further stress on the local road system. 10 years ago, 1999, your predecessors in the legislature adopted a meaningful funding package for the state and local government systems. And at that time, they continued the concept of using highway user fees for maintaining and upgrading both the state system and local governments. House Bill 1007 proposes to increase the license plate fees, which will fund the local road system, and we ask your support of 1007.
Thank you, Mr. Howard.
Questions.
I believe you had an amendment. The amendment has been handed out, proposal for the Senate bill. He was discussing that, and I believe he had the pages mixed up, just to clarify, the Senate Bill 11 proposal, which is the 30% discount. That is the amendment that was handed out, Amendment 10007OA, and we can further discuss that here in a little while, but I just want to make sure that you note that that is the amendment that he's talking about with Senate Bill 11's figures that he is using. At this time, further proponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1007.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Mortensen, registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors Highway Heavy Utilities Chapter. We rise in support of House Bill 1007. We were a participant in the summer study, and we agree that it was clearly established that there are unmet needs for funding for local governments, and we endorse this method to help make up that shortfall. So we do encourage you to pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mortensen. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Seeing none, the chair will open up for opponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1007. Seeing none, I'm going to waive the rebuttal, and I don't think Representative Olson's here. He's probably back chairing his taxation committee. At this time, we will close public testimony and open up for committee questions or questions of the sponsor or proponent testimony. Questions of the committee on House Bill 1007. Representative Elliott, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. Madam Chair, this would be for the sponsor, I believe.
Wonder if we could grab the sponsor.
Mr. Howard.
Mr. Howard, could you fill in if we don't have Olson available?
Madam Chair.
Representative Elliott.
Thank you. As I was reading through here about like the RVs and their taxation, there are some RVs that are never used on the roadways. I know that there are, I just know that there are none that are on the roadways. Do they still pay that full tax?
Madam Chairman, Representative Elliott, they would pay the tax based on the weight of the vehicle and the age. If it's over 5 years, you would get the 30% reduction. But other than that, if they were going to be used on the highway, they need to be registered. If they're never going to be used on the highway, then I guess they would not have to be registered.
Follow up, Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you are saying that if they are registered and they have pay their license fees, then they would pay the extra. But if they are not, I mean, if they're just sitting somewhere, then they would not have to if they're not registered.
Mr. Howard.
Madam Chair, Representative Elliott, if they're never used on the public highway, then they would not have to be registered. But if you're going to move them and use the state highway system, then they would have to be registered.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Further questions of the committee? We do have Deb Hilmer available from the Division of Motor Vehicles if you have questions of Deb as well. Questions of the committee on House Bill 1007. We have such an astute committee. We have no questions because we're such good listeners. I take that. I will close the committee questions and move into committee discussion and or action. Representative Junkie.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move 1007-0A.
Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Street. Comments on the motion?
I'll try and be brief and let you clarify it, but this is really an amendment we need to put on 1007 because of the loss of Senate Bill 11. It brings in the reduction in vehicle license plates. And I'll let Madam Chair further clarify that for the committee.
Thank you, Representative Junkie. Comments from the chair. What 1007-0A does, and this was last minute just for the fact of the actions on the Senate, Senate Bill 11 was the bill that had specifically and on its own, the message in that bill was the removal of sections 32.5-30, the removal and repeal of the discount that vehicles that are older than 5 years of age get when you go to register a vehicle. That bill failed in Transportation Committee on the Senate side, so this amendment would put that language in to House Bill 1007, and also at the bottom it amends the fact that if it's a commercial vehicle, they would also not receive that discount, that 10% discount, if they're older than 5 years of age on a commercial vehicle. 32-5-30, the top talks about the non-commercial, so like your cars. The commercial vehicle discount was 10%, and that was down at the bottom of how, the amendment 1007-0A. What that generates was $12 or $13 million to your counties. And remember, that's the largest part of your expenses are the local cities and townships and counties that they bear the expenses. So this would generate that $12 to $13 million for those counties, along with the generation of the increase of $10 per registration in each vehicle that would generate. So the two together, when you put the two together, would generate about $20 to $21 million for your local townships and counties. Further comments on the motion to amend House Bill 1007-0A? Further comments on the motion to amend House Bill 1007-0A? This is a voice vote. Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. why was – oh, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Okay. Why was the why were the older vehicles put back on?
Just comment from the chair. This is something that hasn't been done. They had the discount put in place since 1939. And looking at this year coming out of the summer study, they recognized that that was one area of source of revenue that would be a large source of revenue that we could attain for the counties with being $12 million for a small increase. I believe the average vehicle increase would be about $9. So that's why they looked at that and they realized that the counties being almost $100 million short in funding, that an average increase to most consumers would be about $9, that this would be not an easy way, but a way to bear and a user-based system that no matter how old the vehicle is, they still weigh the same at a new vehicle or a 10-year-old vehicle. They're still doing the same amount of damage to your roads, but the fact is that it's a user-based fee, so they wanted to make it as fair as possible. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Elliott. Representative Junkie.
And you can rule me out of order if I get going down the wrong trail, which I tend to do on this with this concept. But you know, think back to when we grew up. I mean, a five-year-old vehicle, if you got 100,000 miles out of a car when we were growing up in high school, it was ready for the scrap pile. We don't even look at a car, my wife and I, until at least they're 5 or 6 years old now, because we drive them. I mean, we have 4 or 5 of them in our yard. I could go in there. There's 320,000 on one. There's 170,000 on another one. So realize that some of these now are getting 10 years old, and we should be paying, because it's still the same wear and tear, even though vehicles will last a lot longer. And I think this is just an adjustment because of the advancements in the motor vehicles. That's my take on it. If I'm wrong, Madam Chair, you correct me.
No, thank you, Representative Junkie. Further comments? I will follow up along with Representative Junkie's comments as well. The numbers and statistics that we can share from the Division of Motor Vehicles, that 76% of the vehicles out there are older than 5 years of age. 76% of the vehicles. So when you have constituents coming in and talking to you and they drive a 2001 Mercedes, why should they be getting a discount? Because their car weighs just the same and they feel that they should be paying a full price than getting a discount for somebody that has an Audi or a Mercedes or whatever they have, even though it's older than 5 years. It's not fair, because 76% of the vehicles out there are older than 5 years of age. So they realize and recognize that that was such a significant number, that this source of revenue would be a revenue to generate for your local counties, remembering going back to your counties. Further comments on the motion to amend?
Madam Chair.
Representative Shrimp.
And I just got one question. What does this do to dually pickups and semis? Are they included in all this fee increases then? Or?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Shrimp. This would be a fee increase to them as well, because they're considered a non-commercial. The dually pickups would be, and then a semi would be considered a commercial, so they would be included in the repealer.
May I have another question?
Representative Shrimp.
What would that increase, like a semi or dually?
The increase for the dually would be at an average of $9. Of course, it's based on the age of your vehicle and the weight of your vehicle, so it's going to depend on that, first of all. So it depends on if your vehicle weighs 4,000 pounds or 5,000 pounds. So, but the average increase would be about $9. On a semi, it's going to be a little bit more, because obviously it's based on age and weight. So it's going to be dependent on the weight and the age of your vehicle. Follow-up, Representative Shrimp.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Further comments? This time, before we have a motion to amend House Bill 1007 with 1007-OA, all those in favor of the motion to amend signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion to amend House Bill 1007 passes. Further action on the committee for House Bill 1007. Representative Junkie.
I will make a motion to pass on amended House Bill 1007.
Do pass motion by Junkie, seconded by Representative McLaughlin. Comments on the do pass as amended?
Oh, Madam Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This has had a good, I think the proponents have done a good job of explaining this. We've amended it to make it a little better, and I think it's ready to go for the floor. Thank you. I appreciate a yes vote on the do pass as amended.
Further comments on the do pass motion as amended? Representative Russell.
Having worked for two counties and going through budgetary constraints, I also dealt with Shannon County, which is the poorest county in, I believe, the nation. The one thing that they always had a little bit of money in and revenue for was the road fund. Now, I know that the roads aren't the best in Shannon County, as some could probably testify to a little bit better than I. However, I struggle with this, and the reason that I struggle is because although we do need the money for the roads, and there's just absolutely no question about that, I have a hard time putting additional cost on the individuals, especially the poor, during this recessionary time. And for that reason, I will not be supporting it. I understand the other side of the issue, and I think that there are valid points, but I don't think that in these particular economic times that we should be placing additional burdens on the poor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Russell. Further comments on the do pass motion as amended? Representative Shrimp.
Madam Chair, I feel the same way Representative Russell do. We don't have no townships in our area. I didn't have no members from the county commission testify. So I'm going to be voting no on this issue, just on account of two reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shrimp. Further comments on the do pass motion as amended? Representative Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was urged by my local officials to support this bill and this amendment. My towns and townships folks were here last week, and a lot of them have vehicles that are, you know, similar to Representative Junkie's. They're getting old, and as long as we can, you know, get our fair share out of Representative Junkie, I think it, you know, I think this is a good idea. But seriously, I live in a county that I believe has the most bridges of any in the state because of our geography. We have the Coteau Hills to the west, and the water comes east, and it comes in a hurry, and we're in dire straits. And we need to keep those bridges. We've got bridges that are being abandoned, not totally abandoned, but restricted severely. And I just urge the committee to support this legislation. And we're not trying to be unfair to anybody, I don't believe. I think we're just trying to keep our roads and our bridges in good shape. And I'll let it go at that.
Thank you, Representative Street. Further comments on the DuPass? Representative Cobb.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. And it's not just bridges, but it's paved roads that are torn up and they become dangerous. And they're rutted, and the potholes and all this stuff, it's hard on your vehicles. An older vehicle, it's going to be a little harder on it than a new vehicle. And I think it's one of necessity. We've got to keep the roads and the bridges up because it's a safety issue. And it's also a mechanical issue with the vehicles traveling over all these rough old roads. So I definitely support it.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. Further comments on the DuPass?
Madam Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I respect the ones that cannot support this. Obviously, you know, we live in different vicinities of the state, different districts. But I tell you what, when I campaign, and we just did it last fall, if you ever go around a county commission meeting, they are asking for other revenue. I mean, they've tried the alcohol tax, and they've tried other revenue raisers that have never passed the mustard up here. And I've always looked at them and says, we have the cheapest license plates in the nation. I mean, we have people coming from all over to register their RVs and so on and vote here. So there's never a good time to raise a tax. And I told them I don't come up here to raise your tax. I want to be fair. And at some point in time, you got to, this is the one I always went to. Counties get license plate fees. Take a run at this. And I've been rejected up with that proposal from their executive director and everything until this highway needs. So I think it's a good, healthy discussion. I hope you can support the do pass as amended on 1007.
Thank you, Representative Junkie. Further comments? Representative Verschio.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know it's not representative of our entire district when you go to Cracker Barrels, but we consistently ask this question, and consistently the huge majority in the room says, yes, they are more than willing to pay these increased transportation fees. So I have no heartburn, although I too don't want to raise taxes like several have mentioned here, but I have no heartburn with this one because those who care enough to participate in the Cracker Barrels say they would support it. So I would also urge us to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Verschio.
Another quick follow-up.
Mike.
Follow-up.
Representative Junkie.
Representative Street, I gave you an opportunity. I was wanting to tax you with 1,002 earlier in the session, and I don't believe I have the support from your support.
I'm open for that.
All right. Further comments, we're going to move right along here. Comments from the chair, I wanted to clarify. That this bill has come forth from the summer study. This is something we're not going to solve overnight. We have a need. We have a county and state need. We have counties that are short $100 million. The state's short $100 million. This has been supported by your local county commissioners, your local township associations. And I know the concern is that we're going to burden those that cannot afford it. But we have to remember 76% of the people out there are driving older cars right now than 5 years of age. So that's three quarters of them. And I agree with Representative Verschio. The comments from the general public are maybe 1 in 100 that disagree with this. They know it's a user-based fee. We have the lowest fees and this is a user-based fee, it's not a tax increase, it's a user-based fee in the nation on these vehicles. Our average is between $29 and $37. That this small increase is something that has to be done. If you want to ask the question, would you want good roads? Everybody loves to have great roads, but nobody wants to pay for them. This is a fee increase that has to be designated to help support what the people want. They always want great roads, but they do not want to pay for them. But they recognize that they use them, they do the wear and tear on them, that they have to pay for them. This small increase that we're averaging out to be about $9 a vehicle will be something that is going to be well worth our long-term investment, because we're right now in preservation mode. Remember how much more it costs to replace and repair bridges when they have gone to the complete poor and deteriorated mode. Then we have bigger problems, and the cost of inflation is what the biggest factor in this is, that we can only do half as much work for the dollar of the value that we're getting because of the increases of 50 and 60% in construction costs. So not only are our revenues going down because we're driving less, we're driving more efficient vehicles for gas mileage, but we're also having a huge and double increase in costs to construct these roads. So we recognize the fact that this may not be any, no year is good year, but this is a year we have to recognize and take leadership from the legislative body and recognize to help out our local townships and counties who've been begging for this money. At this time, there's a due pass motion on House Bill 1007 as amended. All those in favor will signify by saying aye, opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Elliott?
Aye.
Ironclad?
No.
Kopp?
Aye.
Lang? McLaughlin?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Russell? Shrimp?
No.
Steele?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Verschio?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye. House Bill 1007, due pass motion as amended, 9-3.
Madam Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a title amendment on page 1 after line 1, after non-commercial, insert and commercial for a title amendment on 1007.
Motion to amend title amendment, second. Second by Representative McLaughlin. Further comments on the motion to amend title amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Title so amended on House Bill 1007. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Jackie.
I think so.
We got a guest in the room, don't we, Representative Elliott?
Personal privilege? The man.
He's back there, I believe. Our former committee member, a former state personal privilege granted.
Thank you. I didn't even see him sneak in. I would like to recognize former legislator and my husband, Bert Elliott.
Welcome back to the Transportation Committee. We've had great times with you. Even though you're not under the leadership of Gordon Peterson, we sure miss you. Oh, Representative Nordstrom, do you have somebody? Oh, great. Would love to hear.
Thank you for the personal privilege. My mom, Kathy Nordstrom, my dad, he ventured over from the Senate, I guess. They must be pretty boring over there. And then my sister and her husband, and then my wife. And I shouldn't forget Andrew, nephew. I have to think about that. Say that the right way. And so my parents are grandma and grandma.
Great. Thank you. Welcome. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So, Junkie, Representative Streets, or Steele, I'll get that right. Motion to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. House Transportation so adjourned.